Sharada Station, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, WBAI.org. This is Burn, Baby Burn. Where we burn the Imperialist red, white, and blue to ashes right here. Along with CPR Metro's Don DeBar. How are you feeling this morning? How are you feeling?
I feel like I'm back. I'm back.
Oh, man, I missed you, man. Yo, man, I missed you. I don't know why you've been not taking me to the beautiful places you've been hiding out, man. How you feeling?
Feeling all right.
All right. I'm playing a little bit of Highly Unlikely for your big dream, small reality. Highly Unlikely will be happening tomorrow, August 18th, at a place called the Black Forest Brew Halves at 2015 New Highway in Farmingdale. They're the ones who made this tune called Corruption Eruption. About the whole politician scandal out in you remember that case with this this big police guy who beat up this guy because he stole all his sex toys in a bag and he ended up in jail and all of that. So the song is about all them politicians out in Strong Island and all of that mix up corruption stuff, corruption eruption.
Yes, I do, and yeah, all those folks out there, a lot of them too.
Oh yeah. Donna, I gotta get you a copy of this tune so that you can hook it up on CPR Metro, the place you should be, definitely.
Give it up, baby. Give it up.
It's good to hear you back, man.
Yeah.
Don DeBar, straighten out, straighten me out. What the hell is going on? Talk to me, what the hell is going on?
Well, let's see. I guess you reach the end of the road with capitalism, where even in the belly of the beast, it's been almost 9 years now that it's become obvious that people's condition will not improve. The working people, and that means everyone that's not one of the few people that own everything. Working people includes people that would like to work and can't because there's no jobs, that don't want to work because the only jobs available are, you know, beneath the human dignity and don't pay enough to live on. Everyone that's not one of the few owners of everything is a working person. This whole construct is at the end of its rope as far as what it can offer working people. You know, here in the United States, it got a longer life because the empire was running around, rampaging the planet, sucking the life out of everybody else. So they dropped a few crumbs on the workers here, and relatively speaking, people were better off. And so their loyalty was purchased, whether they knew it or not. That's essentially what happened. Well, that's all gone. And there's no more tricks that they can pull up their sleeve with fat government spending, debt, mortgaging every asset that you have, et cetera, et cetera. They can't blow air into it anymore. And people have come to an awareness of that. My situation is bad. It's not going to get any better. The system offers me nothing. Devices that the system has for finding relief have failed me. The politicians lie. They don't represent me. The courts are crooked. There's a complete loss of faith in the institutions of this. And so, these are the conditions that, if you look at history, end up being synonymous with the term pre-revolutionary conditions. Mm-hmm. These things lead to revolution. The style of governing no longer works. The people no longer accept the institutions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're one of the few people sitting on top of this, how do you put off the inevitable? Answer, everybody that is coming for you with rope, pitchfork, torch in the night, or whatever, you instead set them upon each other. So that they're so busy fighting with each other, they never get to your house and start walking off with the silverware and, the food in the pantry and all of that.
Yeah.
And we are seeing that played to the fullest. The media has been beating that drum forever, but it's been particularly heightened over the last year and a half or so. The whole political structure Everything led to this moment as a perfect layup, as a perfect setup for it. Mm-hmm. Trump didn't invent this stuff. He didn't have to. It was invented. By the way, those things that he said exploiting this were, you know, it's been a tradition of both parties, you know, Hillary Clinton and Sister Soldier with Bill Clinton, and all of the stuff that we heard from all of them going over. And by the way, the imagery coming out of Charlottesville, if you peruse YouTube just a little, or look at my Facebook page, because I put it up there yesterday, there's video from Kiev of the same characters, you know, the same, wearing the same uniforms,
right,
with the torches,
right,
playing with statues. Here they're taking down Lenin and putting up Stefan Bandera, who's a Nazi.
Right, right.
Now, this is the Ukraine that was built by the Obama administration.
Yep.
Okay, that's not part of the unleashing of fascist forces represented by Trump. Okay, these are actual fascist forces installed by Obama and Clinton's State Department, Victoria Nuland being a Clintonite from the 90s.
Well, let me interject this. My family, Maya and David, they're from Germany, and they were sitting watching the TV, and they pointed out to me that back in Germany, the Nazis got their lead from imperialist USA, which brings me to the point that the Democratic Party was the party that says, we love lynching. It's a good thing. You forgot that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's an American tradition,
yes, it is.
You know, especially as far as the Democratic Party is concerned. So, you know, Obama is just done with the program, baby.
They're all, you know, look, he's not unique in any way from any of the others. It's been a steady procession of that from George Washington. You know, Trump is asking, should we be taking down the statues of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson because they were slave owners, weren't they? And the answer is yes. And by the way, yes.
Hey, why not change the name of Washington, D.C., baby?
Well, why don't you name it after the people that built the White House?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You know, at gunpoint.
Yep, yep, yep.
Or rope point or whatever.
Rope point. We're speaking to Don DeBar right here. We got his favorite tune, his theme song in the background right here. Compliments to Monty Alexander on keyboards. Don DeBar from CPI Metro giving us the type of analysis you're not hearing on WBAI or on Imperialist Radio. And that's why we call the show Burn Baby Burn, Bobby Vakin style, where we burn Imperialist red, white, and blue. Whether they show up as Nazis or whether they show up as white supremacists or imperialist dogs who have been trying to overthrow Venezuela, Don DeBar, talk to me about Venezuela.
Well, interesting press conference a few hours ago in Moscow with Lavrov and the foreign minister of Bolivia, standing shoulder to shoulder, saying, you know, the age of U.S. hegemony, and essentially they were referring to the hegemony represented by the Monroe Doctrine, is over.
Yeah.
And Lavrov saying, I sure do hope you folks don't intend to try to go into Venezuela. And, you know, the foreign minister of Bolivia standing next to Bolivia is, you know, one of the real heroes of this hemisphere. It's a remarkable thing that's happened in that country.
Yeah.
And Evo Morales is a... one of those heroes of epical proportion. You know, over the time, I think people will look back at him as being a major pivotal figure in the change of, essentially the recapturing of this hemisphere by the people to whom it belongs. He's going to be seen as one of the pivotal figures when that ultimately happens.
You know, I was just glancing at some stuff right here. Over 1,000 people disappeared in Sierra Leone, and nobody cries in imperialist USA.
Yeah.
They don't give a damn. Do you think they give a damn?
No, of course not.
It's amazing, man. It's
no
amazing.
White helmets running around there.
Exactly. DPRK, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, and that's the proper name of the country, that they refuse to call it DPRK in Imperialist USA. What's the latest on DPRK?
Well, let's see. So far, it's been rhetorical exchanges, on the virtual side. You know, the media game has been name-calling and, you know, let's throw off a rocket, let's have a B-1 flyover, etc. At the basis of it, the hope has been, and this is what Russia and China have been trying to get the United States to understand
direct,
is necessary.
Direct negotiations, right?
Yeah, well, the negotiations, but here's another one of those. Twice a year, the United States practices invading and leveling the DPRK. They have massive military resources in the Pacific that are aimed, in that direction, from Guam to Okinawa, Alaska, by the way, which isn't very far either. And what they do essentially is start an invasion run and then stop at the border twice a year. This is 65 years after the United States carpet bombed the northern part of the Korean Peninsula and much of the southern part, too, by the way, leveled it.
Yeah.
They were practicing demolition techniques for urban renewal that they would bring back to the United States a couple of years later, apparently. There was nothing left standing in the northern part of the country. In other words, north of the 38th parallel in the DPRK, taller than one story. This is, in 1952, a civilization that was more than 1,000 years old. Not a two-story building left. That's what the United States did 65 years ago, which is in the memory of many people that still live there. That same United States has been practicing now for 20 years, more or less, since Clinton. Invasion and destruction of the DPRK. And each time that happens, the military planners on the other side looking at this have to decide, are they coming in this time? So there's another one of those scheduled to begin today, tomorrow, next week, I forget, very soon. And this is what Russia and China have been leaning on the United States, saying, look, why don't you guys not do it? And as long as you don't do it, they won't test missiles and atomic weapons. And that's what, and that and a peace treaty are all that Pyongyang have been looking for. Stop making us mobilize our military twice a year to prepare for an invasion. And sign a peace treaty, which you haven't done since you came here and leveled the country after you took over from the Japanese occupiers when you conquered Japan.
Right.
That's what happened. Japan conquered much of Korea. The people who hadn't been conquered and that were fighting were primarily in the northern part of the country. The occupied part was primarily in the southern part of the country. When MacArthur occupied Japan, all of the Japanese bases became American bases, and all of the Japanese occupied territory became American occupied territory. And so what was Japanese occupied Korea became South Korea, what's called the Republic of Korea. What hadn't been occupied by Japan, that was still in the control of the Koreans, became North Korea, or the Democratic People's
DPRK,
Republic of Korea.
Yeah.
So where we're at is we're waiting for a response to see if the United States will in fact suspend this. They said they won't.
But let me ask you something. Isn't this practice of terrorizing a sovereign country the same sort of practice that Imperialist USA has been carrying out on the Polish border against Russia? right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well,
right.
they're doing it against Russia from the Baltics.
Okay.
You know, all the way to Korea, because Korea is on the Russian border as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and China's border.
So let me ask you something. I see potential there for them to have war games in the middle of the Caribbean Sea facing Venezuela.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking at a global
crazy
mobilization.
Uh-huh.
And there are some serious questions about who's in control of the government.
Interesting.
You know, all of the people who were marching in the street calling themselves Antifa, you know, a lot of them can't actually say the word anti-fascist.
It's pronounced Antifa.
Yeah, whatever. My Antifa.
Yeah.
I didn't have an Antifa. She was Uncle Bob's. But no. Well, you know, these folks that are essentially demanding that Trump be removed from office, no matter what the mechanism.
So that Pence can take over?
Yeah.
Fascist
Pence? Who takes over? Pence?
Fascist Pence?
Well, that's... You know, this is what Montero, Professor Tony Montero, has been saying for quite some time. It's, you know, they're talking about, you know, Trump unleashing fascists and getting elected, you know, electing
you know,
fascists
something,
and all this.
You know something, down the bar, why don't they just goddamn cut to the chase and overthrow the old dad goddamn system, as Gil Scott Heron
would say.
Well,
nobody's advocating that.
You know,
the solution to fascism, according to these people, is to remove Trump. And so we end up with either Pence,
yeah,
who, you know, or Ryan.
Yeah.
I don't know. If Trump is a fascist, what is Pence? What is Ryan? And especially if they're placed in power,
Pence is
by
worse.
Extra constitutional means.
Pence is worse.
No kidding.
Give me a break.
So, you know, to me, the question hangs on the question of war and peace when you have a global mobilization of the U.S. military and all of the things that we started talking about here, as well as many that we haven't mentioned, like the various wars that are going on, Syria, Iraq, North Africa, the Great Lakes region of Africa, various parts of Latin America. You know, there's a whole lot of fighting going on. And the United States is, you know, essentially the instigator and or sustainer of almost all of it. Okay, and this predates Trump. And to a large degree, the moves that he's made that he's been criticized for most are things that tend to... move towards tamping that stuff down. You know, like in Yemen, when he started bombing, he did a couple bombing runs there. He bombed Al-Qaeda. What was going on before was the Saudis were running as an air force for Al-Qaeda. And the U.S. AWACS were giving them the targeting information. So, you know, there's like... Anyway, long story short, while you have this global condition of, my goodness, it looks like they're mobilizing for World War III across the, you know, across the front. There are serious questions about who's in control of the U.S. military. And you've got people that call themselves anti-war and anti-fascist mobilizing in the street against Trump, who's only one saying, let's not have a war with Russia. And who gets 24/7 condemnation from the media for that? He's Putin's puppet, etc. I don't know. I don't know the solution to all of this stuff. It's pretty scary and ugly. And a lot of our allies and friends are doing some really dumb and fascism enabling things. What I was starting to say before about what Montero's been saying, correctly in my opinion, is the fascists don't get run in elections, and they didn't need to be elected to power in the United States. What the hell has the United States been since 1945? You know, look at Germany from 1933 to 1945. First of all, it was 12 years. Secondly, it reached, you know, to Moscow and maybe to Lisbon, okay, and to, you know, Sardinia and North Africa. Look at the reach of the United States. Look at the, you know, period from 1945 to now is 69 years, 68 years. And I'm sorry, was it? It's 73 years and 72 years. Not only that, the body count. The demons were no slouches, however many gypsies and, you know, gay people and everything else. By the way, they killed somewhere between 25 and 30 million Soviets, which means 20 to 25 million Russians. You know, they killed like four times as many Russians as they killed Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's any more or less value in one or the other, but we never talk about that. Never. And the Russians, however, looking at the United States bringing Germans to its border for war games, which is what happened last week and the week before, and to them it looks the same as the United States bringing the Japanese to war games in Korea. And that's what's been going on. And this is not a Trump project either. This is a project that's been ongoing since 1993, when Clinton took office.
Let's move on to what's the latest on Imperialist USA's immigration policy, which is now based upon eugenics. Speaking about eugenics, it seems as if they've claimed that they've taken a piece of Australia's immigration policy, which I think is the worst of that, and combine it with the worst of Canada's immigration policy. Over in Australia, it says here that Australia's top diplomat said that a New Zealand party was meddling in her country's policies by exposing the question about the citizenship of Australia's number two leader in place. That's Barnaby Joyce, Australia's number two. He can claim that he's a New Zealand citizen. The revelation that the Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce is also not an Australian but a New Zealander risk him to be kicked out of office. That's the latest happening in Australia. Talk to me, Don DeBar. What's the latest on that?
Well, first of all, let's look at some things like the common history.
By the way, that's a white supremacist country, Australia. You know that, right?
Well, here's where I'm...
Okay. All right, let's go on.
Let's look at the common history of Australia and the United States. And Canada, for that matter, and
Australia.
And then let's just imagine how that history might impact on something like immigration policy.
Go ahead.
You know, you have people who I guess you could consider them immigrants that came over 500 years ago with guns, shot whatever was standing still, and chased down and killed whatever didn't stand still.
Whoa, that sounds like terrorism, bro.
Stole their land.
Ooh.
Set up shop.
Ooh.
Grabbed people from other places at gunpoint to put them to work building it. And then regulating the inflow and outflow to maintain the wealth and power that they created through the mechanism we just described.
You're beginning to sound like the Brother D record.
Well, you know, so what exactly is one to expect from that,
right,
absent a major revolutionary upsetting of that order?
Mm-hmm.
Redistribution of wealth, a return of the land to its proper owners, a compensation for the stolen labor, all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
If we're not talking about that, we're talking about, you know, chairs on the deck of the Titanic. And so, you know, I'm not surprised that Germany models its laws in the 30s after the U.S. laws in the South.
Oh, yeah.
That Australia and the U.S. have, you know, shared common delusions and fantasies about race and eugenics and everything else that are used to control.
Hey, John DeBar. Remember, Nazi Germany says that, you know, we're not going to get as crazy as Imperialist USA with the lynching business, but we'll take the other stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We're going to do some stuff, but we ain't going to get crazy.
Exactly.
That's just off the hook.
Precisely. Yeah, yeah. Right. We're running out of time. What's coming up on, I almost said Burn Baby Burn, but CPR Metro. Oh, by the way, you notice that these demonstrations against these white supremacists, nobody's burning the Imperialist red, white, and blue flag.
Yeah.
I see. No. They're not serious about overthrowing the system.
Well,
but go ahead. Go ahead. What's coming up on CPR Metro?
All right. Up at 6 o'clock is Bernard White with Wake Up Call. And today he will have with him Larry Hamm and Gerald Horn talking about what's been happening in Charlottesville and elsewhere. Then that'll be followed by Weekday World, my daily three-hour program. It starts with our newscast. Today's newscast, the 30-minute newscast, is a conversation with Professor Luciana Bone. We've been doing a history of the USSR with her, and we're looking at the period from 1928 to 1933. That's the first half-hour program. The debate from Press TV, looking at the agreement with Iran and where things are at right now, the nuclear agreement between the U.S. and Iran. Then Lab Clear from Radio Sputnik with Brian Becker. Some interesting stuff there, including Charlottesville and sanctuary cities and some other things. Lavrov press conference with the Bolivian foreign minister. Then the press conference and Jeff Sessions, which I haven't listened to yet. I'm going to be listening to it when it airs towards the end of our program. So from 6 to noon, that's what's playing on CPR. It's actually now we grab the URL communitypublicradio.org. And so if you want to listen, just type in communitypublicradio.org.
Don DeBar, more than a pleasure having you right here to share, to get exposed to some of your political analysis. Sorry we didn't get Lloyd de Aguilar out of Kill Some J.A.
Hey,
I tried to get David Katz, co-host of Burn Baby Burn. He's in Rotterdam in Spain.
Oh, yeah. The Netherlands.
Yeah, the Netherlands, yeah. Don't forget Highly Unlikely happening tomorrow at the Black Forest Brewha, 2015 New Highway in a place called Farmingdale.
And what are the chances that I'll miss that? Highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely, yeah, yeah. And one of the most famous tunes that they banned on black radio in Imperialist USA. The Ku Klux Klan is training their kids on machine gun use. This is Brother D with Collective
Effort. If you want to know the truth,
thank you, Don DeBar. See you
next time. And you know
that. Bye-bye.
And you know that.
Dippy guys are so socialized, but how we gonna make a black nation rise? While you party down, y'all can shock the house. Get down, rock, shock the house. The Ku Klux Klan is on the loose, training their kids in machine gun use. Okay, everything has its place and time. We can rock the house too as we shock your mind.
Heard up, we can't brag and we can't boast, but we need the bread and butter for our breakfast toast.
Look at all the things that can prove the point. Sisters in the desert, brothers in the joint.
As you dippy guys are so socialized, but how we gonna make a black nation rise?
People call me Brother D, and I'm here to shed some light, to bring the truth right on down to earth from where I once was out of sight. But before I continue, just let me say, this is not my ego suit. I sat down and thought, and I wrote this verse in the interest of the group. Come on, my people.
Up, y'all, you know that ain't right.
Cause that hurts everybody, black or white.
We're just cold, can't get no heat. Just move your body to the beat. While it takes you hard to disco ride, get high until you're pacified. Now you acting like a living dead and talking about the body, talking about the head.
Space out, y'all, to the disco rhyme. You're moving to the rhythm, but you're wasting time. Stop and think, do you know what's real? Well, let me educate you to the real deal. The media is telling lies. The devil taking off his disguise. They're killing us in the street while we pay more for food that's cheap. And all you want to do is so socialize.
How you gonna make that nation rise?
Remember the so-called Indian? Look what they did to him. Maybe they'll do that to us. They'll struggle, they'll win. I mean, damn, get out of your seat. Damn, get on your feet. We say damn, and I will repeat. We mean damn, we're tired of defeat. Damn, no more sitting around. We say damn, it's time for throwing down. Damn, let's even the score, cause we're fired up. It won't take no more. We're fired up, it won't take no more. We're fired up, won't take no more.
We're fired up, won't take no more. We're fired up, won't take no more.
The story might give you stomach cramps, like Americans got concentration camps. While you're partying on and on, the others may be hot by the break of dawn. Your party may end one day soon when they round the niggas up in the afternoon.
And so-